When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, everybody, welcome back to hell.
There's more. There's even more.
But wait, Uncle Van's got a little more to say.
He's got a lot. He's got a lot of words to repeat over and over again for six minutes at a time.
Well, you know, he is a brave rogue philosopher who's single-handedly main charactering the fight against tyranny. Here in America,
if you don't understand that, you just don't get it. You're not as woke as him, and perhaps
not woke.
I sense some jealousy. Oh yeah, he's woke. His third eye has awoken to the realities of the reptilian overlords, and we all know what that means.
He was a Scientologist at one point. It's not a great leap from Xenu to,
David Icke.
Yeah. No, it's definitely part of the same rotten, miserable tree that we still are shaking and banging our head against. And with us, we have a new friend of the pod, brand new friend of the pod. Also, maybe a coward. I don't know.
That's just we're just saying what we were told.
Yeah.
By another friend of the pod. You're going to have a chance to defend yourself in just a second.
I mean, I don't need to. Whatever Brandon would have said about me would be accurate. I think he's a fair and kind and gentle person. And and he's just brimming with truth.
I like this tack. I like this. Kill him with
this
kindness.
This is an interesting tack. I would have... I thought you were going to take a hard van here and just skirt that fucking bitch, fucking Brandon Valley, that fucking my bitch ass wife, my ex-wife, the fucking, poisoning people. Again. Oh, just like Brandon, just like her. Makes perfect sense. Doesn't surprise me at all.
If Brandon says that I'm a terrible person, I don't feel that way, but I don't share the perspective of those around me, so I need to accept it. And if he says I'm awful, then I guess then I am. I don't want to argue about it.
Are we acting out the therapy that Van Morrison should have received in in place of Mark's being taking, allowed to record a 28 song album?
Mark's taking the high road of what's her name, Linda, his ex-wife.
Linda, her name. I love that I don't know her name and I didn't look it up, but I'm here for Linda's journey. I'm very pro Linda, desperately pro Linda. I'm so respectful of her journey. I don't know what her name actually is, but yes, Van Morrison's wife.
I will tell you, her name is Michelle Rocca.
Well, it's going to be Linda.
That's a disappointment.
For now.
Linda is a very ex-wife name, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
His first ex-wife's name is Janet Planet.
Oh, her name was not Janet Planet.
I mean,
all right.
It says right here, Janet Planet, married 1968 to 1973.
Was he one of was she like a 16-year-old girl that he kidnapped, adopted or something? And he named Janet Planet because that was like a thing you could do.
No? I mean,
she worked at Planet Parenthood.
Very possibly.
It was the late 60s, early 70s. So it was really out of fashion to, marry adult women back then. Yeah, if you were a musician. Oh, you know what? She was 19 when they first hooked up. So
there we go.
He got her pretty old.
Still young enough to be renamed and housebroken.
Yes, we did it. We did forget to actually actually introduce our guests. Heather, go ahead.
He might want to be redacted. This isn't a good time that we're about to have, but we are very excited to be having it with Mark Gallagher. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. And yes, that is my name. And yes, I am, according to Brandon, who I fully trust, I am a coward.
Listen to this non-toxic masculinity. I can't cope. I'm not ready for this.
Yeah, we don't ever get any of that on this show.
But, you know, when something is non-toxic, that means that you can ingest it and it won't kill you, but you still might get diarrhea.
Oh, okay.
So, that's true.
That's true. Or that might be the ivermectin, you know? You don't know anymore.
Yeah.
These days. The red pill is...
I'm swallowing so much ivermectin now. I can't keep track of... whether it's the like daily 3 steak bombs a day or just the ivermectin regimen.
Yeah.
But I'm doing like Van told me to do, you know, I'm not falling for the media's lies.
No. Wake up, sheeple, the musical. Yeah. Part 2. Here we are. We're back, guys.
So any crucial context we should give Mark or perhaps our listeners who didn't catch the season premiere?
Well, let's throw it back to our boy Mark first, and let's get any context that you have and like any relationship that or experience that you might have with Van Morrison as an artist, Mark, and like anything that you want to say before we dive into this.
I mean, I was saying when we were off air that my assignment was to listen to the second half, the back end, but ooh, I told myself before I even started, you know, once you finish that, go back and listen to the first half so
no!
you have the full context of it. However,
no.
However, as soon as I got like tracks 15 through 500, well, once I got to the end, I was like, I'm all set. I'm good. I do not need to. I get it. I already know what the first half was. I'm set. In terms of my background with Van Morrison, like I know he's a name. I know he's got a few hits. I'm not like at no point have I ever followed him. I just know he exists. I never knew what he looked like until today. I had to look him up. And the image that I had in my mind of what maybe he looked like as I was listening to this music, which by the way, sounds like all of the instrumentals in this album sound like somebody just hit like one of the random default buttons on a Casio keyboard. But as I was listening to the music, I was like, this is a kind of guy who can't shop at Trader Joe's because everyone thinks he works there.
And just like this cranky like Margaritaville, yes. Like, you know, a cranky guy in a fucking Margaritaville tank top. Hey, I don't work here. Yeah, all right.
I'm trying to shop. I'm trying to get my Ori Joes or whatever. Knock off.
You think this guy would I mean, come on. That's where the libs and commies shop.
You're right.
Come on. He's at America's Food Basket, okay?
I mean, he's probably at Walmart, right? You know,
or like,
America's Food Basket is where like Creole people shop, I feel like.
Yeah, I guess it is. And I guess it's just that's the name, even though it's in Fields Corner in Dorchester. It's the one American food. All right. But actually, that does beg the question, where does Van Morrison think he lives? Like, where does he think he is?
In fascist Nazi Germany in 1984 by George Orwell, you know, a.k.a. the UK under lockdown. The worst transgression against human freedom in the history of the British Empire.
Got it. Okay. That's right.
Trampling of human rights that the British have ever done in history.
So do you like music, Mark?
Yeah, I mean I'm a really odd guy when I listen to music all the time, but I'm a big movie nerd. I ask me anything about, you know, like generic pop culture stuff and I'm there for you. I'm really bad when it comes to, you know, naming artists and going through discographies and stuff like that. I just have like kind of weird taste, but like if you go through my Spotify favorite list, it's more than likely you're gonna just hit like your movie scores and stuff like that. So
it's just
like
nice to hear from somebody that somebody can enjoy music still. So I just wanted to hear you talk about things you liked. Must be nice, Mark. Thanks. Don't even talk about our Spotify. Our Spotify Wrapped is fucked. And especially now. Now it's all Van Morrison to end the year. Like, it's just, I mean, so yeah. Do you know a little bit about like the political, drama surrounding Van Morrison in the current day? I mean, I'm sure you can kind of read between the lines, man, on this.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's all
subtle album, but
yeah. I mean, that's that's what I did. It was read between the lines. Like this will come up later in the podcast because there's literally a song about it. But as I was listening to this, and no joke, I did not like preview these tracks. I just went to the middle and hit play and just let it go.
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has 3 pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house. And my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out. Because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with 2 devices at once, new quick charge function, 3 customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of scary guys, skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month, so just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
That's a nice strategy. We should start doing that, Mike. Just listen to less than half the song every time, especially on this album. Go on. Sorry, Mark.
So I'm just letting it go. And as I'm going along, I'm like, this is my guess. And let me know if I'm right. He was big in the 60s and, came up with the sexual revolution and Woodstock and all that, like protesting Vietnam. A lot of his early music must have been, protest, at the time would be considered left-leaning. And then he's a boomer and he just shifted into, he has no media literacy and got on Facebook Fox News brained and probably, Newsmax and all that stuff at this point, because Fox News isn't enough for him. And so as I'm listening to it, I'm just like, oh, this guy got banned from Facebook and he's pissed about it. And and then there is a track called Why Are You on Facebook?
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, that's because either you got booted or you forgot your password again and you gave up. You didn't want to make a 10th account.
He was tired of all his memes being grayed out as this content might not be accurate. Fascists.
So would I be right in assuming that he would be considered a liberal, you know, 40, 50 years ago and today is a right winger? Like, had he just transitioned?
You know, I think it's even less interesting than that. I think he was always awful. Like, he's well known for being a fucking dickhead. Like, they're all just the like, even if you look at like critics, like the way that they describe him, like the kinds of adjectives that they use to avoid saying just like absolute fuckwad is like mercurial and stuff like that. Like, everybody hates this guy. And he has been a dick to women. He's been a dick to everybody that he's ever played in bands with. He's been a dick to journalists. So he's just a misanthrope that was able to kind of parlay it into like a cool outsider image and like sing. He's got a good voice. You know, the dude's got a good voice. He's got that swelling mahogany, you know, like that resonant, resident voice that's very nice. And it does still have a decent amount of flexibility when he's not just like half in the bag or three quarters, but like he was just a fucking dickhead that
he was
got
never,
away with it.
Never
I don't
back
think
in the day like an own, like he was never like a outspoken conservative. Like, he wasn't like Ted Nugent out there or anything. Mm-hmm. He was just sort of more apolitical. I feel like, you know, I only listen to a little bit of Van Morrison. I like the album Astral Weeks a lot, and I like the album Moon Dance, and that's mostly like trippy, like poetic sort of songs, and then all you know, like songs about whining and dining and dancing, you know, stuff like that. Like, he never really got into politics. I mean, when he did get into politics, it was like, you know, he was a Protestant from Northern Ireland who moved to the UK before the Troubles and was always sort of like, oh, yeah, that's a shame what's going on over there.
A big, brave man fighting the front lines for justice.
England. Sorry, I know Northern Ireland technically part of the UK. I do. Correct. I want folks to know that I know.
So let's be clear that the whole thing with his whole political, you know, his big turnaround, his big decision to get up in the political fray is literally because of COVID-19 pandemic restrictions, making it so that he couldn't do his arena shows. And so literally that's for where real. It all came from. That's there, where all of this it. Came yeah. from. It's just being pissed the fuck off. And so he released a bunch of songs that weren't on this album. Like literally just like End the Lockdown was one of the songs. And like, he just did another one with Eric Clapton, another sparkling political activist, that guy. And
was that the one that got released this month? Because I know there was another one like this that came out this month. I saw.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That's like Enough is Enough or something like that. Yeah. So he's, you know, that's what he's angry about. So let's just make it really clear. He's angry because his bitch ex-wife left him and won't let him see his kid. And he's also angry because of wearing masks and pandemic lockdown or restrictions on large gatherings. So that those are the injustices that he's railing against. And let's be super clear about it.
A few songs on this disc, too, that are sort of he's mad that people just don't get, you know, how hard it is to be a famous musician, too. They haven't had his lived experience.
The white van's burden, I would say.
The white van is
the white van's burden. Yeah, he really has it so hard. And there is definitely some not even thinly veiled like racism and, you know, ethnocentrism and xenophobia of the and anti-Semitism, too. We get a nice little sprinkling of that on this one.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you guys about that. They own the media.
Oh,
they.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you three guesses, and the first two don't count who they are.
I take him for the kind of guy who, like, if you mildly inconvenience him, then he just runs to the studio and records 30 songs about why he just got cut off in traffic or why he has to wait 5 extra minutes at the McDonald's drive through.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's not,
I mean,
even
he's definitely
just
having
that.
The worst time of his life.
It's
this album.
Yeah.
The worst hardship he's ever been through. Between the alimony and the lockdown, he can't imagine a worse fate.
And it's not just that he got cut off in traffic and the other person is a terrible monster that's that's taking away his jobs and freedom. But he's also like the only person who can stop that guy from cutting anyone off in traffic. Like, he's also very, very, very main charactering of like this like fantasy. Like, well, Brandon Valley was saying he looked like he was dressing up like a secret agent or something. He's got all this like spy terminology on the second half of the album where he really is. He's leaning deep into the character of like, you know, that white savior. He's here to save the day. He's here to make sure that, you know, all of our freedoms are restored.
And a lot of rhetoric of like, hey, I'm doing something. Why don't you do something?
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Stop bitching.
I'm doing the real work here.
I'm but doing the work.
It's so funny. He's like, against masks, but apparently pro fedora.
Mandatory fedoras for everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. If there was government issued fedoras, he'd be fine with that. And you would be, you would be anti-American if you did not wear that fedora.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. Anti-Western.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Anti-Western.
All encompassing. So I don't mean to typecast Mark Gallagher, but with a last name like Gallagher, you might share me and Mike Dunn's, Irish last name and therefore the cultural experience of having a great uncle that won't fucking shut up about how the Irish were slaves too. So did that, I want you to kind of take that into consider. Do you have a great uncle Van in your family? Call them out. Make Christmas weird.
You know, what's funny is that my immediate family that, you know, the family you see in the holidays, they never talk about politics. And I think, and it's not because, you know, we don't want to fight. It's because they just don't pay attention.
Oh, that's beautiful.
However, on the family I don't see, like I have a grandmother I haven't talked to in forever because of this kind of stuff. So instead of my uncle, it would be my grandmother.
Oh, Granny Vanny, Granny Vanny. Oh dear, I'm sorry.
She is awful. I mean, I just like completely gave up when recently, in the 2020 election, once Biden became imminent, she started sharing just the QAnon crap. The final straw was this really convoluted meme about how Biden has he owns an island that's it's near Epstein's island.
Mm.
So Epstein would submarine the kids over to Biden so he could then vampire out their adrenochrome.
It's like Lost. It's like
exactly or like Das Boot.
Once I saw that and I'm like, you believe this? I'm good. And then just, if you've noticed, my regular Facebook doesn't exist. I post it only as like a drag character that I have named Lacey Blossom. And
wait a second, hold the phone. Mark, can we pause there, rewind, and can we hear all about Lacey Blossom, please, real quick?
I love Lacey. I do like a lot, my comedy is a lot of characters, so I'll just show up as a certain character or whatever. And Lacey has just always been with me forever. And so I've always had a Lacey account, and I was just had so much trouble with just like, there's so many people on my regular Facebook, and it's like Lacey has like 400 friends or something like that. And I just started using that more often. And it's such a more pleasant experience because Lacey is gendered as a woman. So when I'm Lacey, you have to refer to me as her, she, her. And on Facebook, they give me more, it's a much more pleasant algorithm. You know, just the ads, like I don't get ads for like knives and weapons and stuff.
You just get weight loss tea and, and tummy shapers. So.
A lot of MLMs. Yeah. And
oh, nice. Yeah. See, isn't it nice being a woman? I think you've learned something, Mark. Yeah. There's such a, you've learned so much.
Yeah. More clothing and stuff like that. And it's just like, you know, all that stuff is way more, it was just like the noise kind of went away and I'm like, I'm just gonna use this. That's fine.
So, do you perform in drag as Lazy?
Yes. That's like one of the things that I do. But yeah, when I'm Lacey. It's a drag character that I have. Yeah.
What's That's Lacey's amazing. Take on Van Morrison?
Yeah, I was going to say, does Lacey want to add her perspectives here? What would Lacey have to say about this album?
I mean, I get concerned about my characters because they're, you know, they're so crazy. And I'm afraid of the political leanings of a lot of my characters. I think the thing is, Lacey, she has only had romantic encounters with monsters like so she
like
might
Van Morrison's
actually,
wife
yeah, Lacey may actually love Van Morrison you know because well he just reminds me of the Dracula and Wolfman like a combination in later years
but yeah I was saying in the previous episode that there was not enough batshit COVID bird-brained takes. Too much nagging wife songs. Not enough you're all sheeple songs. And we got really side two really delivered in a way that side one did not. I don't know how it's gonna affect my rating. But it gave me what I was expecting from this record, which is fucking so just the dumbest fucking takes that you've ever fucking heard.
Listen,
I mean, are they even
that
takes?
Hate boner? takes would imply like a thought process. I mean, there's a clear thesis.
And yes, for sure.
Yeah, there's certainly a thesis, and we'll hear it over and over again for somehow another fucking 700 songs.
We'll hear it for 6 minutes straight at a time, repeated six times per song.
Yep. Yep.
You see, that's what I was going to say. Like, I feel like a take, you know, would be like a paragraph at least. And there are no paragraphs coming out of guy. Like, it's like two or three lines just ad nauseum repeated looped, you know, he gives you like one notion and loops it over and over.
Yeah. Well, we said it's just one take. We mean that every song only took one take to record.
That too.
Yeah.
It's just like text from your grandma, you know, your van ma, when she like sees you a little too close with like another girl, she's like, what's going on? Answer me. You gotta have, you know, that's the take. It's just a string of incoherent texts and emojis, just mashing into a fucking jitterbug flip phone.
let's
get into it. What do you say?
I think it's about that time.
All right, so let's get into this one. This is where we get right into that Spy Kids fantasy. Where he's a double agent.
This is Double Agent, track one, track 15 on the album, track one of disc two.
To the mind control, one gives his all to rock and roll. One is an asset of MI5. One keeps on looking, there's stars in their eyes. Double agent, do you concur?
So, double agents.
Yep. Yep.
This one's like not about his bitch wife or COVID, right? This one's sort of about like, oh, you know, it's so hard, like living this double life as like this musician, but also I'm like a family man.
I took it as him looking at his compatriots, his liberal commie compatriots who sold out and, you know, voted for Biden.
That's,
you know,
right. Yeah.
I think it's that, you know, he's one gives his all to rock and roll, but one is an asset of MI5, you know, one's I guess a torture victim or something. I don't know.
So it's about the mask he has to wear to pretend. Yeah. To pretend he's one of these libs.
Yeah. Then he's got the idealists who keep looking at stars in their eyes, you know, that are all just too busy. He's got some weird, like, you know, things about like, you know, doing drugs on this one too. Cause you know, some said never desert a comrade in need. Some planted cocaine and some smoked the weed. Like, you know, He's a soldier on the front lines of freedom. And you know, those, you know, bitch ass Paul McCartney's out here fucking saving the whales, like drinking the Kool-Aid.
So is that why he's an anti-masker? Because he's already metaphorically wearing multiple masks and he could suffocate under all those masks?
Yeah, dude, they are very sweaty. The mask knee under his performative like identity is significant. It's cystic.
He's literally wearing a Mission Impossible style mask. He's just been Clapton in disguise this whole time, you know, in an Ethan Hunt sort of scenario. I think you're right. You know, maybe you're right. It is a subliminal shot at his lib contemporaries.
Subliminal shot.
Ooh, got him.
Boom. I'm sorry. Go on.
I mean, this would go in line. You were saying that Brandon in that last episode was talking about how this how he dresses like a spy.
Oh yeah. He looks like the fucking Penguin. He looks like Danny DeVito if Danny DeVito never got laid in his life. Like, that's what dude looks like. Like it's not the look. And it's just so wild that he, you know, he considers this armchair demagoguery where he just is lecturing everyone from his bully pulpit about what rock and roll is, like, you know, so rebellious and brave. He's so, talk about fucking drinking this goddamn Kool-Aid. He is so high. He's smelling his own farts. Like he's basically like, you know, giving himself monoxide poisoning from all his own bullshit. And it's just, he doesn't see in any, there's no moment of recognition or irony at all to be found on this album or self-critique. It's literally fuck all of you. It's all of your fault. And I'm the hero. You're welcome.
Can we go back to the some planted cocaine and some smoked the weed line? Because is he saying like, I'm not
talking
like,
about the CIA?
I'm not like you weed smoking hippie fucking losers. I do cool shit like plant cocaine on earth.
Or maybe he's talking about the CIA, you know, bringing crack to the inner city.
You know, one mental note that I made when I was listening to this, I was just like, whoever this guy, I was shocked that he used the term weed because I was like, whoever this guy is the kind of guy that we called weed grass.
Mm-hmm.
That was just a note that I had.
Yeah.
Yeah. He definitely used to call things far out, but you know, something changed between the first and second divorce.
Yeah.
Or perhaps, you know, I don't know. I mean, like this totally, there's something that happens to old men who get divorced. You know what I mean? There's something that breaks inside of them, you know, that was probably barely holding on by a thread for
a
long
time.
Listen,
don't talk about my dad that way. Okay.
Well, he got divorced young. That's when you're supposed to do it.
No, it's like each divorce, you know, is like the galaxy brain chart. So if you only get divorced once, your mind's only sort of open. But if you get divorced like five or six times, then just your every neuron is connected to the universe.
That's correct. I think that's called science.
Yes.
You're welcome. I just, it's this entire album is just the political philosophy of a Calvin pissing on a Kamala Harris face bumper sticker. Like, it's just so incredibly brave and selfless to fight for the rights of angry uncles with sciatica and a pill habit. Like, the thing, college is for pussies. And if you don't love it, you can leave it, motherfucker. It's just, he's not even from America and he's simping for America.
I didn't get divorced. The bitch fell off.
I think he feels doubly betrayed because he's living under Boris, and who he thought was his homie, and he still had to lock down. Like, that's, you know, imagine if, because I never considered that, but yeah, even in the UK, I mean, they've got a similar sort of fucked up political divide that we do, but even there, Trump was like, nah, we should lock down, probably, right?
I mean, even our Trump said, hey, guys, probably you should get the vaccine. And he got fucking booed off stage. So, yeah, shows where we're at. Yeah, but you're right. But he does simp for America on this album. He does like fantasize about being from Texas. Like,
he does. Yeah, that's so weird. Oh, when we get to that, I can't wait to get to that. And also, which is especially weird because when he did live in America, he lived in Boston or Cambridge. He lived in Cambridge. Oh, wow.
He seems like he's American. You know how like some it goes both ways. Like some American singers will put on, you know, like a European inflection, like a British inflection. If you listen to this, he sounds like he's trying to, you know, convey that he's like an American blues singer or something.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's his style. Even though he's a, you know, Northern Irish Protestant who is just a pouty little cuck for Texas, I guess. I don't know, man. But I really, it's bad. It's really bad.
Well, should we check in on the next track? You know, he's a double agent, but he's also caught in a double bind. So,
oh my God, I'm so excited to hear.
He's a quadruple man.
Oh, he's, yeah, yeah, he's so downtrodden. I'm actually really excited to hear from Van Morrison regarding his views on the Madonna whore complex. So let's talk about the double bind.
Let's talk
about that one. Not that one. Oh,
I don't know. I don't know that. I did not take GCD.
You didn't take any feminist theory. It sounds like. Go on. Go. It's fine.
I mean, I read.
Mark did. I don't know if he did.
Sure. Why not? Yeah.
God damn it.
Whatever makes me sound better.
You are a coward.
See? Brandon was right.
This is Double Bind.
Mind control keeps us in line. That's why we gotta think outside the blind, leading the blind. Why we gotta think outside the box. Find something really rocks. To keep you in line, but you're trying to break the double bind.
Okay.
It just sounds like he,
frantic organ.
He ate too much cheese. That's what I got out of it.
Yeah, this is, he's giving all cheek on this one. It's just floppy, sloppy cheek, just flapping in the wind, just like messy guy on the train telling you your legs look nice and pink.
He does sound like he needs to spit all the time. Like he's got,
yes,
he really, he
another
just woke
reason
up
to wear a mask, Van. Fucking cover it up, buddy. You need a fucking sneeze guard for your goddamn fucking sloppy cheeks. Sorry.
Look. We gotta think outside the box and find something that really rocks. That's what I think.
Yeah.
He puts his point of view just so succinctly. Like, I totally.
Or with a fox and a clock that talks.
Yeah, if Dr. Seuss was even more racist, that would be Van Morrison. Oh, my God. I do not like them in my country. I do them like them in my house. I do not like them taking resources from my white children's mouths.
They are upset about blackface. I found that to be a disgrace.
I liked how, like, I was talking earlier about how every song kind of sounds like it was done in one take, and that's really evident. And there's a line where he's like, it's always the opposite of what they say, because they know people are easy prey, have to please everyone's mind. And then he delivers his next line, like, he's like, have to police everyone's mind. Nowadays, you have to be careful of everything you say. Like, just a total offbeat, like, almost sounds like he almost forgot to say it. And it didn't rhyme with mine, also.
I mean, as I was listening to these, I was like, no way he wrote any of this down. Like, you just hit the button on the Casio keyboard and then just go. Like, yeah. I feel like he probably somehow found a way to record this faster than it takes to even listen to it.
I feel like this was like a misguided nonprofit that, like, went to the old folks home to, like, you know, empower, like, early dementia patients with, like, the beauty of song, and, like, came in and was like, come on, guys, we're going to have a whimsical chorus and we're going to put it on TikTok and everyone's going to love it. And, like, we're just going to sing from the heart. And then you just get Van Morrison being like, fucking bitches and stupid idiots taking all of my money and then making me wear a mask. And it's like, all right, Mr. Morrison, you know, I think we're going to sing Amazing Grace.
Yeah. My sense, I mean, my
Grace, that was three wives ago.
She was not amazing. Maybe amazing and bad, if you know what I mean. She had a couple of pink legs on her, I'll tell you what.
My conception of how this album was recorded is, yeah, I agree. I don't think he wrote down. I don't think he wrote any down any sheet music. I don't think he wrote down names of chords or anything. I think, you know, simply pretty much every song is like a pretty standard chord progression, like a classic blues or old rock and roll chord progression. And I'm sure he just went in there and he had the label or whoever, you know, his agent, someone assembled this band, you know, a decent band. And he's just like, look, just vamp. Just do a 12 bar blues in G for 6 minutes and don't stop until it's been 6 minutes. I'm going to read this rant I wrote in my notes app.
Yes. Yes. Not even that he wrote in the notes app. Like, it's probably, that's why he's fucking up the lines, because it's all typos, because he's dictating it at his smart TV. He's just like yelling at.
Yeah. It was why a don't you text. Back to speech.
Siri. Siri, why don't you love me? You can be my next ex-wife, Siri.
He's just reading the emails that he's already sent to Facebook customer service. You gotta free me from this double bind. You gotta unband me so I can speak my mind.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have an educational moment. The Madonna whore complex and the double bind is how women cannot win. They are either, you know, the virgin, precious, untouchable. They either are the virgin, you know, the untouchable Madonna that can never experience, you know, pleasure, or they're a disgusting whore and you can't win either way. It's a double bind. It's just like what Van Morrison is experiencing, being asked
bullshit to me. Why don't you get out of your stupid fees and do some facts and logic?
Yeah. Honestly, he should.
Here's
really
why
be
that's
able
wrong.
To...
Here's why I disagree with that. This is the problem with that. The problem with feminism is. Here's the thing.
Let's say hypothetically, you have Madonna. Let's say hypothetically, you have a whore.
They can't exist at the same time. You have to pick one. It's your choice. It's your decision.
But you better choose right. There's only one right answer, and I'm not going to tell you. Well, no, it's because Van understands what it's like to be oppressed. I mean, he was asked to not do arena shows for a couple of months, and therefore, you know, he understands the blues. You know, the great tradition of the blues. You know, uplifting the stories of the downtrodden and you know, abused.
It's just funny because, you know, he clearly thinks he has a lot to say here. He thought that his thoughts were worthy of
28 songs,
a 130 minute long double album. And like his like deep ass thoughts are like fucking as inarticulate and flailing like as any given comment from the Boston Herald comment section. You know, like it's just it's no different. Yeah, I don't know why I was excited for the COVID brain shit, because it is just it's something that I've already read over and over and over again from a million other fucking dumb assholes.
And that's what's so frustrating, because it's like you're a rebel without a cause that's saying the things that nobody else will say. And I'm saying it for 130 minutes while being silenced and nobody knows what I'm talking about, even though it's just straight out of the playbook. You're right. It's fucking boring. It's boring how predictable it is.
I mean, I'm glad you make the point about online comments, because as I was listening to this, I for like from now on, anytime I go at it with a boomer on Facebook or just social media in general, I'm going to imagine it being sung like Van Morrison, you know, which is like as generic as it gets, blues backtrack. And so
we're taking our genders away.
Statistically, you're more likely to commit suicide if you're trans.
Mm-hmm. And that's that. Wait,
saxophone. I said the brains are bad, and that's that. You gotta break the double bind, your trans brain.
It's fucked up, dude. Let's roll right.
Shall we move
the
on to
here,
love
please.
Should come with a warning?
Yeah. Linda should come with a warning.
Back to the grind. Back to the nagging wife.
Here we go.
1 minute that you're falling, next minute you're falling apart. Somebody help me mend this heart of mine.
Poor guy.
That Meryl Streep trollop out here, fucking. I was hoping you played that verse, because that's just, that one's special.
She was smoking and drinking, and I just can't get to sleep. Man, she's a better actress than Meryl Streep.
Wow.
She duped him. She duped him, and it's a cry and shame. Love should come with a warning.
And how old is he again?
76.
He's 76, and he presents himself as this, you know, sage, you know, wise singer. And he's been around that long, and he still hasn't figured out love.
Oh, yeah. No, dude,
No.
Love is for pussies.
No, that is, if you had, like you originally planned, gone back and listened to the first half, no, you would realize this man has an extremely immature child's conception of love and what it should be and how it should work and how that exchange of, you know, of power and responsibility should be divvied up amongst both partners.
Spoiler alert, all the power should be with him. Yeah. So fucking Linda, man, go out and live
fucking
your
Janet
life.
Planet
Linda, run as fast as you can. I am rooting for you. We're all rooting for you. Like, I just also the like weird and like morality play about how she's smoking and drinking. Like, I would be taking any chemical available to me to Brillo pad this dude's miserable whiskey dick out of my memories. Like, I want to be as far away from this guy as possible. Like, fucking, oh, God. He's the worst. He's the fucking worst. And it, the doo-wop, bop-shoo-wop bullshit, too. It's like, she told me she loved me, but she was a lying whore. She said that she would die first, but she left me before I could leave her shitty ass. Wah, 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 wah.
God. Yeah, I mean, the sense I get is he's just bitter that he's slightly too old now to probably land another model, you mm-hmm. know.
Yep.
He's facing that reality. It's not like, yeah, oh, you know, can't... I've lost the love of my life. It's like damn, she should have left me sooner when I still had a chance. She should have left me way sooner if she was gonna leave me.
Yeah, no, you can't kidnap, adopt them like you used to. I mean, that's
not under these lockdown conditions.
No,
there's a chance that she was with this woman before he was receiving AARP mail, and no matter who he's with next, you know, they're gonna see his mailbox. They're gonna see like there's no way you can get away from all that AARP content. You know, it's all over the floor. It's on the counter.
It's funny if you look up pictures of them together, like every single picture is like harrowing, really. It's like he looks blackout drunk in every picture, and she looks like she is like barely hanging on. He's on her last nerve, pretty much. She's flashing this like weird half smile in every picture and like literally side eyeing him.
Yeah, it's the Melania face. It's the Melania Trump face, dude. Look at them.
Oh, there's pictures. Yeah, she. I don't often see a lot of pictures where spouses are kissing on the cheek. There's a cheek, you know, like you can see she turned here, not even like looking at him, just looking at someone else. And he's reaching up really high to kiss her on the cheek.
Yeah, she is taller than him. Yeah. Confirmed. He is a confirmed short king. He's like, as established, his body is like mostly like 50% of his height is his teeth.
I'm sure one of his big grievances is money.
Oh yeah. And, oh yeah.
Big time.
Ding ding ding.
I looked it up. He's worth 90 million.
So listen, all of those lost wages from the pandemic of being forced inside and all the sacrifices he had to make.
That's so funny, because on the first disc, he has a line where he's like, I gave her €1 million and she said that wasn't enough. And knowing that that is 1/90th of his net worth.
Yeah.
And he still spent.
It's not enough.
Still
man.
Spent like 20 songs belly aching about it.
He's
that's
worth
wild.
90 million now. So for all we know, pre this divorce, he was worth 180.
Oh my That's god.
True. Maybe. I don't know how these calculators work, but
he does have a lot of albums, and I was saying yesterday I've only ever listened to two of them, but I wonder how many other like spite albums he has. He's got to have more than just this one, right? This one got media attention because of the COVID situation. But I got to figure there's got to be more fucking, oh, woe is me. I am the wrong Advan.
Like that time he got a donut. It didn't have enough jelly in it.
Didn't have enough jelly in donut. And I had to throw it out because it was basically just like eating a glazed or a sugar raised. Didn't want to order glazed donut. If I wanted a glazed donut, I would have ordered a glazed donut. I wanted a jelly one.
Oh, man. Oh, he sucks, man. He sucks. I don't have much more to say about
Love's Coming the Warning. We can move on to Breaking the Spell. This one's got a little pep in its step.
A little pep in the step. Yeah, look at that.
Breaking the spell of the bright, shiny objects. I'm breaking the spell. Breaking the spell. Breaking the spell. Breaking the spell. Breaking the spell of the lower vibration. I'm breaking the spell. Breaking the spell. Take a breather from the red rays of these crazy nights and days. I've been up here in the
Okay.
It's another one of those. It sounds like a needle skipping.
Breaking the spell. Breaking the spell. Breaking the spell. Breaking the spell.
Breaking the spell.
It sounds like a PBS kids show, like the theme song sung by the town drunk.
Yeah, it does. It's very Sesame Street. I kind of liked it. I liked
me too.
This was a little break from the monotony of the, you know, slow 12 bar blues. Lyrically, it's definitely some Q vibes.
Oh yeah,
some like hippie Q vibes of
Great Awakening.
Breaking the spell of the lower vibration, breaking the spell of the bright shiny objects, moving up to a higher plane, breaking your, you know, they're ringing the bell, but I'm not salivating. He's breaking his Pavlovian conditioning. He's going his own way.
Well, he sure does drool when he hears a dog whistle. So he it's also the vibe. It was giving me big, one of your early acid trips, and you're like, man, what are we doing staring at these screens all the time, man? Like, let's throw my flip phone in the fire. Third eye open.
He's like one of those people where he's like,
the media is lying to you.
Oh yeah, where'd you hear that?
Tucker Carlson, of course.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, well, pretty he's much. Done his own research, clearly, you know, and he broke the spell.
Yep.
That's all he asks. Just do your own research. No judgment, you know. Just
well, unless you're one of those idiots with your shiny toys distracting you from the real story that you're finding on your shiny toy that you're connecting with all the other people on their shiny toys.
Who are- no, I know. He's not just asking you to do his own research. But he again, using the same rhetoric as all these fucking like vague posting, you know, reply guys on social media of just like, you know, you come at them with data or a fucking link to like an article or whatever. And the response is just like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Keep letting them jangle those keys in front of your face, buddy. Yeah. Keep. Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or, you know, one of the fucking Wook freaks who's like, you know, you just, you know, that's a very low vibration link. I don't it's a very you know, unascended source, and you know, I prefer to get all my news from Dr. Shiva Ajirandai. Is that how you pronounce it? It doesn't matter
Shiva, but you know, again, well, stopping the steal.
Yeah, really, really nice, like melody and stuff, though. And it's a short song too. It's like 3:30, so you got to respect him for showing restraint on one out of 14 songs. So well, I think this is the 20. Only sub 4 minute one on the entire ride. I guess there's a couple more. This is one of three songs that are less than 4 minutes long.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the first songs that I think isn't entirely soaked with bitterness. It's still pretty sneery and self-congratulatory. It, again, right into that very, like, you know, presumptive playbook of, like, everyone else is a sheeple but me and all of my friends that think the same thing. you know, but it is, it's a little bit of a reprieve from the rest of this bullshit.
Yeah, I don't even think it lacks that bitterness. I just think musically it doesn't it ends twice as fast as all the other songs.
Yeah, and I love that.
Also, it doesn't sound like every other song. It's the one song that sounds like a different song.
I love that. I love that for us.
I don't know how normal this is. I never lyrics never register for me whenever music is playing. I'm so bad at recounting lyrics for songs. Like, it's just like the vibe of it that works for me. So it was a different experiment for me going through and, like, you know, specifically listening to the words that are being said, because I've all the songs that are played on here, I've heard that, you know, that it, this is the same music that plays at like an outdoor blues festival or whatever. So that's like normally what I would hear. And so I'm like listening to the words, and this applies to like the whole album. And I'm just like, oh, oh God, oh God, are they all like this? What is this?
Unfortunately, yes. Young Mark.
That'd be funny if that's like a Twilight Zone where like you realize that that's just what all music is. Actually, all lyrics are like this.
You know? Oh man. Not great, but it a little bit better than bad. So good.
No. It's fine. It's well,
it was log logic. So no, better no. than bad. It's good.
Anyway. John K. I think his he likes him a little younger even than Janet Planet, right? So gotta be careful referencing the Ren and Stimpy these days.
Yeah. Uh oh, really?
Oh yeah.
Oh yep. No.
Yeah. We talk about grooming a lot on the show because it's something it turns out that happens a lot in the music biz.
Sure.
People who make bad music.
Yeah.
We broke, you know, we don't get a lot of credit for this, but we broke the Marilyn Manson story years before it actually became
We did
a thing.
Not break the Marilyn Manson story.
We broke it. We were the first to realize what was going on. With Manson.
I did do a deep dive into Evan Rachel Wood's testimony and pretty quickly deduced who she was talking about. I don't think it was that crazy of a connection, but yeah.
Well, so I was actually ahead of you guys because I blamed him for Columbine.
True. We're hard hitting journalists.
So. Yeah, I actually I broke that story too. I was in middle school and I broke the Manson did it story. So
the
sorry,
Manson
got you beat there too.
The Manson sucked his own dick story.
The Manson removed two ribs and sucked his own dick story. I broke
He was
Manson,
grooming himself.
I broke the Manson was Paul from the Wonder Years story.
hard hitting journalism here.
This has been my life's work.
Mark, you heard the rib removal.
I've heard
rumor,
that,
right?
And I've heard the Wonder Years one.
Oh yes. Did you grow up in Massachusetts?
Yes, in Mass in New Hampshire. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
it wasn't Van Morrison, New Hampshire, stuff. Was it? Or was it?
My parents moved all over the place all the time. And one of the places I lived in was Rochester, New Hampshire. And I was just out of curiosity. I was looking up like which cities in the United States were the most and least diverse. Rochester, New Hampshire, at least at a certain point, held the title of the least diverse city in all of America.
Wow.
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 They're number
and by
one
that
first.
I by that I mean to say that the entire population is Chinese.
Man.
Just all white.
The further degradation of the Western man. Even Rochester, New Hampshire. The tentacles of
communism.
Why Let's do you move ask on. That though, Heather? What?
What's up? I don't know. I feel like I don't know. I'm wondering if the various rumors that we told each other in middle school are regional. And I'm doing an ethnographic study of shit that like idiots in middle school say to each other in Massachusetts. So I wanted to make sure it tracked. It does.
I currently live in Haverhill, Massachusetts.
Nice.
Well, you're not too far from Beach Pizza. You can go get some Beach Pizza.
Oh, yeah, I love Salisbury Beach. Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
you're basically on Salisbury Beach. Honestly, the pinnacle of taste and culture. My favorite place.
Yes, that's just the strip alone.
Salisbury Beach is I bet that Van Morrison wishes he lived in Salisbury Beach where these colors don't fucking run. Dude. I'll tell you what. Live free or motherfucking. Actually, no, sorry, Hampton Beach. Live free or fucking die, bitch.
I wish I lived on Salisbury Beach or Hampton Beach. I just want to have a nice piece of pizza with a piece of provolone slapped over the top. Give me that melted provolone.
That's a
but not melted
squishy.
Too much. Only a just little a bit. A little bit. We don't want it to intertwine with the other cheese.
Gotta still have a little chew to it.
When you bite it, the whole slice needs to come off.
The whole piece of cheese gonna come off, and you're left with that sickly sweet sauce that's just way too sweet. But the crust
not
is
like
nice.
My bitch ex-wife Linda. Fucking cunt. All right, let's play the next song. This is Up Country Down.
This is Up Country Down. This is a song that goes straight to the heart of Texas.
Deep in the heart of Texas, deep in the heart of Down, been up on Highway 1, child. Man, I've been around. I've been there at the beginning when 12 shillings was a pound. I've been here long enough to know that what goes around just comes around. I'm going down, down county, up. I'm going up, up county, down. I'm going down, down county, up. I'm going up, up county, down. Is it Kathleen? Is it Maureen? Is it Irene?
I know. I get my Kathleen's and Irene's and Maureen's mixed up all the time, Van.
He really is talking about Salisbury Beach, isn't he?
this is drunk Irish grandpa mambo number 5. All the Irenes. I got Sandra and Irene and Maureen and Colleen and
I mean, it's got the hallmarks of like you know, the pandering hallmarks of like a Jason Aldean. It's got the banjo, errant banjo. You know, he's doing these lyrics about, you know, country girls and remembering back in the days, you know. But his version of back in the days is remembering when 12 shillings made a pound. And, and yeah, it's deep from the heart of Texas. But he's a 76-year-old Irish man.
Yeah.
Which I feel like they ain't, you know, Aldean's not trying to fucking, that's not what he's talking about when he's talking about, you know, the difference between country boys and city boys, downtown boys. This is a downtown boy frontin', seems like to me.
It's like an Abe Simpson monologue talking about tying an onion to my belt, which was the style at the time. Like, you know, just a little Abe Simpson hootenanny sing along for old Van.
Yeah,
you don't ever hear like Garth Brooks singing about Belfast.
Yeah, right. Even as Chris Gaines.
Well, at first I thought, you know, he's not even doing like the requisite country voice for this, but he is slurring more than usual, I think, on this song. He slurs his words a lot, but I phonetically wrote down, I may as well be in County Down. I may as well be in County Down.
Yeah, well, he's drinking from a poisoned cup, you know. Yep,
couple beer,
drink a beer from a poisoned cup. What'd you think of this one, Mark?
I mean, honestly, every like I was only listening to these to be nice for the podcast. Like I was just sitting there patiently going like, well, don't skip it because they might go in depth and you won't know what they're talking about. So I'm just like rocking back and forth. But they all were the same song. And like he definitely just, you know, he just like pointed at a guy in a booth and they just hit like, you know, like a backtrack to like a score from like a 90s family comedy or something like that. You know, like the beginning of the movie when they show the country town where the chaos is about to happen or something. And then he just like closed his eyes and improvised every lyric.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then he like a pig got let loose from the county fair and twinkle toed across the piano to make that and then, jaunty organ line.
And, yeah. And then like Mary Kate and Ashley had to come in and save the day.
Yeah.
Like always.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is all the same song, and it's a song being played by like a wedding band in a gazebo in like fucking East Bridgewater.
Yeah, yep. An Irish wedding. So he's fucking wasted.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear from looking at those pictures of him and his wife that he's got to be wasted all the fucking time.
Yeah,
I mean, to leave someone when they're that close to death and they have that much money, it's got to be a bad situation, right? It's got to be an unbearable situation.
Yeah. Oh, it's unbearable. I don't think that's hard to believe.
If you're a trophy wife, you know, if you're, because I mean, she didn't marry him for his looks.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a certain point where you are doing math in your head, like how much longer before I get, you know, the will, you know, I get everything in my name. Whether it's because he's hospitalized or gone, and he's like maybe a week away from that, and she couldn't even stand that week. She's like, no. I'll just take half now. I'll just take the half. It's sort of like if you win the Powerball, you get that immediate payout, or you can do the monthly for a certain number of years. And she's like, no, I don't care, whatever. Take $200 million in taxes. That's fine. I'll just take half.
Yeah. Yeah, it must have been, or maybe she found out he was just going to leave everything to Eric Clapton.
That fucking trollop. Let's go to the next one here. This one.
This was a big one, I feel like. Should we take
really?
A break?
Okay.
I mean, I think it's about time for a break. I think we're about halfway through.
All right, let's fucking dive on into Duper's Delight here. We're back.
We're getting duped. We're getting duped for 6 minutes and 12 seconds. We are getting duped by someone who delights in it, in fact. A Duper's Delight.
Yep. If you don't notice when the running rings around you, you don't notice because they're trying to confound you. You don't notice when they're double crossed. That's why you have to keep your eye always on the ball. Duper's Delight, it's a giveaway smile. 'Cause then she thinks that she's gotten away. It's a Duper's Delight.
Did you guys notice what I noticed about this song?
That it sounds like a million other songs, and one in particular that I can't put my finger on.
Specifically, the way he pronounces "duper."
Oh no! Tell me.
He's saying "juper." He keeps saying "juper."
Oh no!
Juper's Delight.
Oh no!
I don't know if just the years
it's
haven't been kind to his lips, you know, and his vocal cords. He can't make the same shapes he used to.
Or his lips are very used to making that specific. those fixing his lips to that exact location to say the
when he's upset.
We're Jew when he's upset. Yeah. Yeah.
Is this a little preview, a little prelude to a later song called They Own the Media?
I like how he thinks that he's being vague in the sense that like people don't know, or you know, it's sort of ambiguous as to who Carly Simon is singing about, and you're so vain.
Yeah, right.
but with him, you know, he thinks he's being Carly Simon, but like every song you're just like, oh no, that song's about this specific ex-wife, or that song is about the time you like stubbed your toe at TJ Maxx, or
I know for sure, you know, if you read the lyrics, it's clear this is another bitch ex-wife song.
For sure.
But I was like, when I heard the first verse, when he popped in and said, you don't notice she's under the radar. You don't notice, but she keeps on telling them lies. You don't notice when she hides behind the media. You don't notice the smile called the duper's delight. I was saying, like, please be about Hillary. This is a please. This actually be a Hillary song.
I mean, it easily could be, or like an Angela Merkel, maybe. I don't know. I definitely got COVID media, you know, frenzy out of this one too, because they use the term, you know, you don't notice when they go under the radar. You don't notice when they keep on telling their lies. You don't see it when they hide behind the media. You know, you don't notice when they smile, call the duper's delight. I just feel like this is more of the same, but weirdly, this was like one of the songs that when I was reading the, like, you know, reviews of this album, which were pretty unilaterally, like, you know, eviscerated the album, but like a few like publications thought that this was like a good song, that somehow this was like some Rye Van Morrison wit or something. I don't know. It just sounded like the same fucking thing as all the other ones to me personally. Maybe a little bit of a nicer arrangement.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it is about his wife, because I think she must have said something to the media, right? About her reasons for the divorce. And I feel like that's the sense that I got, that he's like, don't listen to her lies, you know? She's duping you. I'm the real victim here, I think he's trying to say.
Oh, I definitely get big victim energy on this whole album, for sure.
I imagine in court proceedings, you know, they like have to take him in for testimony, and he'll just sing one of his songs.
Yeah, no, it's yeah, I don't know. The point is that it's interchangeable, and it fits. It's still completely more the same from him. Yeah, not my fave. None of them are my fave.
No, definitely not my fave.
They're all bad.
It's all this. You know, not a bridge to be found in this album. 6 minute songs, no bridges, no chord changes on any song. It's the same fucking three chords that go and go and go and go. And he just repeats the same verses over and over again, even. Like, I feel like there's like two verses on this song.
On every album.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You're welcome, Mike. You're welcome. What a fucking rock god. A silenced rock god. Oppressed, you know, to the tune of millions of albums and dollars. So, you know, feel bad for him. You're welcome.
It actually, have you guys ever heard when Bob Dylan was going to make like a 20-hour long Titanic song?
Get the fuck out of here.
I mean, I don't know exactly how long, but it was like a super long, you know, I think it was actually 15 minutes long. The one song, 15 minutes. And when it was announced that it was going to come out, Tim Heidecker parodied it without even having heard it. And he basically made, you know, what he thought it was going to be. And it was just so repetitive, and it's a feat of endurance to sit through the song that's making fun of it. And I think I even then afterwards, well, now I got to hear the Bob Dylan one, and it's almost indistinguishable, of course.
We're actually out here running the real marathon here on Marathon Monday. Like, what, you know?
Yeah, this is definitely more taxing on the human body.
Absolutely.
Than running a marathon.
Yeah, I just like, I need a big bowl of spaghetti right now.
Yeah, I've been carbo loading for weeks to get through this fucking shit. Yeah.
I'm reading here that it was a 5 year long, it took 5 years to reach a settlement on their divorce. They actually initially separated in 2013, and it took that long to fucking
Milk him for all he's worth, Linda. Fucking take the money and run. And absolutely don't let him see your kid. He'll kidnap Doctor too. Get out of here. All right. Anyway, next song.
Yeah, we can do the next song. Jupiter's Delight is over. It's now time for my time after a while. Oh.
Finally, it's his time.
It's gonna be. That's what he's gonna tell you. You might think it's your time now, Heather, but it's gonna be his time after a while.
Time now, but it's gonna be my time after a while. People gonna catch up with your evil eye. Raining in the morning, raining in the evening too. Raining in the evening too.
Rain, 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 rain.
Raining in my heart because of the evil things you do. Well, it's your time now. It's gonna be my time after a while.
Okay. All right.
All right, guys. I think we should switch it up. On this next one, we're going to do a 12-bar blues. I'd like to go on for 6 minutes and 15 seconds. And on this one, I'm upset about, well, either my divorce or COVID. You figure it out.
The New Orleans. Yeah, listen. It's his time now. It was his time before, and it'll be his time after. But it's also his time now, or almost his time.
Your time is up. My time is now. You can't see me. My time is now. It's Van Morrison with the shining down.
Jesus Christ.
Van Morrison should collab with John Cena, probably, you know?
Yeah. Hey, both for Boston. Really...
Both former Massachusetts
Boston
residents.
Boys.
I'm sure they both love the Kowloon.
I was just I know at
John
the Kowloon.
Cena loves the Kowloon.
I was at the Kowloon today.
Wow.
So, I was. I had to bring my 16-year-old mentee to the Kowloon. She politely obliged.
That I mean, that's just going to be condos as well.
You
right?
know. I mean, the Kowloon condominiums. Oh, yeah, they'll keep it's that's gonna be the worst part. They're gonna like keep the sign just to like, you know, just like with the hilltops. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. Like that office building that has the neon flashes cocktail sign out front on like Columbus Ave or whatever.
Yeah. That's what I want. That's what
Columbia
I want.
Columbia Ave. I always.
Columbia.
Yeah.
It seems like a, you know, they're, you know, portraying that as a tribute, but that's just the biggest troll.
It because, is,
you know, when you
oh, it's
just,
deeply offensive.
Yeah, when you demolish a landmark and then you're like, hey, come on, we still the dinosaur is still there.
Yeah. Yeah, overlooking the fucking parking lot next to the Cane's Donuts.
Yeah.
I can't wait to go.
You'll never be able to afford to live in.
My favorite convenience store is Great Scott.
Oh fuck.
Yeah. This one I don't have much to say about. I'm just curious if you guys can help me figure out what this line means. You're as thorny as a lucky dip. Plastic rain.
Mr. Grinch.
I was literally just about to say that.
It sounds like a Pavement album title.
Wasn't that literally what I think Brandon said that on the last one? It was like Dr. Seuss on Ambien or something like that. Like, it was just like, I wish there was more Ambien on this album. Just fucking roofie his rocks glass with some shit to tucker him the fuck out, because I just can't believe he's still going. He's still going. Give him like a puddle of porridge and a Jameson's nap. Like, I just don't want to hear this man speak ever again. Just get out of here. That's enough.
Well, unfortunately, your time is up and his time is now.
Well, after a while, you know. But
yeah.
the previous while is also controlled by him. It is also his time. Reclaiming my time from myself. You're welcome. God damn it, dude. dude. I can't.
I feel like he forgets how long he's been playing the song for, and like that's why they go on so long. Like he's got some sort of dementia.
Again,
every 90 seconds he starts a song over again. And
it's the young at heart chorus showing up to his retirement community and being like, "Oh fuck,
we missed." You know, oh, sorry.
Stop singing your mind, please. That's enough.
It's my time after a while. Okay. Let's turn the oven off now.
Oh dear.
We are flying through these last few songs. We should have taken an earlier break.
Listen, I mean, there's only so much you can say. And I am doing this, I wouldn't even say professionally because I don't really make money off of it, but I'm doing this. This is episode number, actually, fucking episode 100 of the show. And I don't
congratulations,
have any,
guys.
I know, right?
That's right. It is episode 100. Shit.
That's crazy.
Forgot.
We forgot.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, stoppies. This is going to be the last season. we're pretty much done.
Well, you guys can go into syndication now.
Oh,
we
yeah.
We can, yeah. We're gonna air on the WB.
TV.
Even if we don't put out new episodes, this whole like long ass hiatus, it's just, you know, hundreds of people still download our shit for some reason. So, you know, a veritable hundred.
And we make so many pennies off of it. It's just the I wonder if we could determine our hourly rate for the amount of work that we've put into the show.
I don't want to talk about it. It's worse than when I like worked at summer camp.
No, it's like it's literally maybe a shilling. You know, I remember when there were 12 shillings in a pound. We're making about a shilling an hour.
Well, I'm sure you make up for it in the health benefits, right?
Yeah. I got a great 401k. I got a fucking free,
all the fucking,
you know, I got a nice dental buy up, you know,
all the fucking liquor I consume to like get myself through this shit is really, you know, helping my overall health.
We are brought to you by the Pantheon Podcast Network. shout
I'm
out
sure love Van Morrison
to the rock and roll
this. Oh my god, that's enough, Michael.
Okay. We love our hosts.
What we'll say is we're not the kingpin.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we'll say. That's a segue, Mike Dunn.
Who are the sources? Horses for courses. All right. Yeah. So we're going to move on to He's Not the Kingpin. And I think we're going to learn a little something from this song.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He's not the kingpin. Don't help him know.
Hunky Band's doing his own research, baby. He's taking notes.
And Dr. Fauci. And Dr. Fauci. He's just a dumb shit. A secret Muslim.
I assume that there was a slight chance that he was singing about Michael Clark Duncan from the Ben Affleck Daredevil. Because he was upset that they had a black actor portray the Kingpin.
I literally have that comment on another song, but it doesn't matter because it's entirely relevant for all of these. That's absolutely correct.
He's not the Kingpin. For me, the Kingpin, Vincent D'Onofrio, is the only good one. He's so much better.
Who are the sources? Horses for courses.
Horses for courses?
What the fuck, dude?
Don't have enough. Just make it up. Follow the story. Follow the money.
Who's shouting loudest? Who's getting comfy? Who's taking Nova? Who's taking Nova?
He's asking a lot of questions, but not providing that many answers. And I think that's the really frustrating thing about all this this side of the discourse is like,
well, it's
all
the rabbit hole.
Fucking tell me then. Who?
It's what the
what
bleep
is
do
the
we
media's
know?
Agenda? Why are they framing it this way? Why are they naming it this way? Like, what?
Does he need to spell it out
money,
for you?
Where does it lead you?
One of my favorite things to do when you run into, you know, someone that you know is an absolute loon online is you just ask them, okay, well, so what's your solution? And just like, let them keep digging the hole. At one point I had a guy, you know, one of those don't trust the media guys, lay out, and it was obviously he was coming up with it in real time, but he was laying out like, how do you get information? Because if you can't trust the media, and what it led to was you need to like go out yourself and knock on doors. And
so Canvas, he's trying to solicit, he's trying to start his own little mass purg, Truther mass purg.
Like if it's like, I don't know if it's going to rain out tomorrow, but I know I can't trust the media. So I have to like get a satellite and set that up. And, you know,
well, it's just like, you can't really tell that the earth is round. So you got to fucking send a rocket homemade up into space and die.
Uh-huh.
It's their agenda. Oh man, it really does sound, it's also like a little jazzy lounge act. Like I can just picture this being played in the hotel lobby of the fucking QAnon convention in like Arizona, like bongos. Dr. Fauci.
I love that, like, when whether this is their taste or not, because it has the agenda that they like, they'll just pretend they like the music.
Totally.
Like who was that, There was somebody that was at the insurrection rally there.
You know,
Pink Ariel. Does that sound right? Ariel.
Oh, Ariel Pink. Pink. Ariel Pink.
Ariel Pink was outed as a MAGA guy.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, he's got, I like some of his songs, or at least his, you know, one or two of them. But
Beverly Kills is a kick-ass track. I don't know. I didn't see it coming.
It's just so funny that like they just adapted to it and they're like, oh well, yeah, we like, yeah, this is a good, it's like, you know, like at a strip club they just play a bunch of like, you know, hip-hop techno,
no, it's
music,
all crazy, you, bitch, it's exclusively crazy bitch.
I love the idea of like these sad sack, you know, middle-aged guys just in, you know, being fine with that kind of music just because, you know, they get to see some boobies, you know, so they're like, oh yeah, it's Britney Spears, that's fine. Like you would never catch them listening to that on their own.
Well, it's also,
you know, the Pussycat Dolls ain't so bad.
Don't get vaccinated. Slut it up with no mask.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was trad like me?
Cishet like me, don't you?
Or it was like, nobody wants to work anymore, bitch.
Yeah, right. But that's the whole point.
You better
go back
to work, bitch.
Go back to work, bitch. You gotta make money. You gotta
play us up by the bootstraps.
You better work, bitch. Go back to work, bitch. That's good. That's good. I like that. I hate it. But it just goes to show you that literally, I mean, it's the fucking same, you know, it's the same shit, obviously, that he's criticizing everyone else for. It's like following a script. It's straight up fucking Mad Libs, you know, for wretched, like wrinkly fucking ball sacks that, like, you know, just are desperate for relevancy and, like, you know, and just want to feel like the world hasn't passed them by. And instead they're actually the sole hero in an action movie, you know, against tyranny. And, you know, as long as somebody else is validating that, it doesn't matter what the delivery, you know, who's delivering it.
I mean, you know, I think also though, sometimes when you get them in certain environments, they will, they'll let loose. And that's, I guess I just want a little more of that from Van.
yeah, what we want is,
you know, I wanted like all gas, censored, no brakes Van Morrison here for side two. When Mark was saying that his grandmother believes that Biden has his own second Epstein Island, that,
yeah, that's what,
like,
I want.
They traffic
that's what
kids
I want.
From trampoline. I want Van Morrison to sing that.
Yes, I, yeah, I agree.
That's what I was hoping for from this experience. That I would have given this album, like, you know, a good rating if it delivered on that premise.
No, he's too much of a coward for that.
He's, putting he's little just... kids on a submarine, drive it over to the other island. Joe Biden drinks their blood, and that's in the vaccine as well, the children's blood.
Take them away from their home and suck their adrenochrome.
But not like what we did in the 60s and 70s with all those teenage girls. That was totally fine.
That
and
was
nothing
different.
Wrong
it was
with
the
it.
Culture at the time. Those girls were much more mature than the girls are nowadays.
I'm calling
That's
the
how
police.
Far the American education system has fallen. Girls aren't even mature enough to molest anymore. At 15.
They don't become self-aware until they're in their 50s and then they leave me.
Oh, man. I hate it. Next song. Please.
This next song is called Mistaken Identity.
Oh, nice. This is the one where he's like actually Neo.
Yes. He's the fucking, he is the one.
Mistaken identity. Man, I get that a lot. You think that you can read me, but you just cannot. Singing in one key. There's all the sharps and flats. Sometimes controversy. Mistaken identity. Mistaken identity. Look inside myself.
Think you know, but you have no idea.
Layers.
Parents just don't understand. Oh, man. Yeah, you're not that deep, my dude. I hate to tell you this, but you are like wildly one-dimensional. I can predict. It's predictive text at this point. Every single fucking line, you know, and it probably was. It was, you know, the smart TV got smart enough to know what was coming next and just recorded it as a string of voice memos, and then he added the Casio backing band. I mean, it just it's
you and Mark keep describing this as like a Casio keyboard preset, but I mean, that's literally what Wesley Willis did, and that's like a million times better than this music.
Yeah
Absolutely. I mean, Rock and Roll McDonald's is a communist anthem.
Suck a cheetah's dick, much more powerful than honestly anything that Van has to say.
Yeah, talk about living free, unmasked. My dude. I don't know what to say about this one. Mark, you got anything?
Yeah, I mean, I just like, it's just so, it's like you were saying, he's you know, very one note and predictable. Like we could right now probably, like we have a sample, enough of a sample of his, how his brain functions, that at this very moment, I bet we could accurately predict what he's ordering from DoorDash at this very moment.
Let me tell you, nothing ethnic, an over medium fucking burger with no salt, no cheese. Yeah.
Traditional Irish meal.
Yes. Yeah. Well, dude, I mean, traditional Irish meal is fucking cooked to shit potato mush with no flavor in it and whiskey.
we said a gray meat.
Gray meat.
No salt.
Hot cabbage. Mm-hmm.
The most ethnic he's willing to go is the potato burrito from Taco Bell.
The glorious bastion of American exceptionalism, fucking Taco Bell.
The most ethnic he's willing to go is Catholic food.
Communion? Peanut butter sandwiches.
When he eats the loaded potato burrito from Taco Bell, he closes his eyes, he could just imagine that it has nothing to do with Mexican food.
I mean, listen,
it's like the glory hole of fast food.
he had a whole protest album like ready to go, about a double album about Taco Bell taking away the potatoes from the menu, but luckily thank goodness they brought them back, so he had to go.
That was his
B.
famine. That was his.
That was the latest record project volume 0.1, you know. That was the beta test. I think this is pretty funny because he's 76 and he's doing this song that's like, you fucking haters don't even know me, man. He's doing like a Machine Gun Kelly like concept.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, he's like, what does he think that we think he is that we're getting wrong? Like, it's like, oh, we thought you were just boring and didn't have a personal life worth considering at all. But I guess turns out you're way shittier than that.
Yeah. It's very like, you know, Rage Against the Machine, but it's the kind of music that like your retirees listen to on their pontoon boat.
Yeah, this is, you make a good point. This is like very close to fucking Parrothead shit, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. Ooh. I could see that. Yeah, just a Margaritaville vibe.
Oh, yeah.
But they look like they're Margaritaville. Having fun. Margarita. There we go. Oh,
damn. I think you have an episode name.
There it is.
There we go.
There it is.
The content you craved.
Oh, that's why you tune Bullseye in for 100 headshot. Episodes. For Margaritaville. There we go. But that's the thing, is at least, you know, at Margaritaville, they look like they're having fun. This guy, it's shaking his fist on the Nordic track. Like, it's just, you know, there's no more. What do you have to rage against if the machine is you?
He's like a school shooter, but his fingers are too stubby to pull the trigger.
The fingers you have used to shoot with are too fat. Oh, man. I liked, there was one line I guess I pulled out that I kind of liked, and this is like the only nice thing that I guess I'll say. is when he said, the unexamined life is not worth living, didn't look behind my smile, I can be forgiven once in a while. It seemed like there was maybe a little bit of self-recognition there, of like realizing that like everybody knows he's a piece of shit, you know, but there's something, you know, there's something more to it, I guess. I don't know. I'm being very generous here with the reading, but I like the lyrics. If I didn't know anything about him or anything else that I had listened to for 20,000 fucking songs, then maybe I'd be like, oh, that's kind of cool.
What's the lyric again? Say it again. Sorry.
It's just, the unexamined life is not worth living. Didn't look behind my smile. I can be forgiven once in a while. You know. Mm.
Well, the unexamined life is not worth living. That's just plagiarism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
Yep. That is a quote from, I think, Socrates?
Mm.
Plato.
Same diff,
yeah. No, it was Socrates.
Van, Socrates, Plato, all in the great the great philosophical pantheon of free thinkers.
I mean, this whole album feels like it was, you know, like his thesis was due and mm-hmm. he just like put it together the night before.
Oh,
and
yeah.
If you ran it through plagiarism software, that he would flunk.
You know what, Mike? I'd really appreciate if you would just honestly stop fucking bitching and do something. How about that? How about that? How about that? I'm pretty sure we've gotten that exact comment in our fucking like one-star reviews from Tool fans. So
yeah, this I think Van Morrison, you know, say what you will about him after, you know, the this is now the 24th track on the album. We've heard him say a lot, but he's not a man who bitches. He's not a man who likes to complain about things. He's a man of action.
You first, so, man.
Yeah, no, this is, I mean, this is just him doing his duty for the Patriots out there.
Do something. Stop bitching. Do something. I hear what you're saying. No need to run it by me one more time. I realize you have a lot on your mind. Most of the time. Most of the time. Gotta put up or shut up. Put up or shut up. Put up or shut up. Put up or shut up.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, he's really doing the work. He's, you know, he's put himself out there so much. He's done so much for the cause, and I think he's earned the right, you know, to make a statement like this, you know. Him more than really anyone else possibly.
So brave. So brave. Stop bitching. Start Saxon, baby. He does wail on this one. He does wail on that thing. I'll give him that.
Yeah. That's him playing the sax solo on the album?
Yeah, I think he's a saxophonist. That's his, like, thing. So, besides having the voice. So, I hope that's him. If that's not him, like, what the fuck is... What? You... come on. Come on. Don't take that away from him. His birthright.
I love the idea of the backup singers in this track showing up for their session that day, and they're looking at the lyrics and they're like, okay, do 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 do, okay, got it, okay. Do 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 do,
shoo-doo-doo-bop, shoo-doo-doo-bop.
Yeah,
the white man is being oppressed and silenced. Shoo-ba-doo-bop, ba-doo-ba-doo-bop.
when this track came up, this was like, I had already had the thought a few times before, like I said at the beginning of this, but I was like, oh, this guy is just online all day.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But why is he on Facebook is the real question. Yeah.
We'll get to that.
I mean, he's doing something in his mind. That's the thing. He's not only doing something. He's the only one brave enough to say this incredibly unique thing that nobody else is saying, which is that COVID's a plandemic and we all need to get back to work and fill the arenas for Grampy Van to get another fucking million euros. All right.
Right. And he feels like he's doing something by release because he thinks this is going to sway people. This is going to change the hearts of minds. In his mind, releasing latest record project volume one is a form of direct action.
Absolutely. I mean, is it not?
I mean, you know, does bitching like turn into something else when you do it over a backing track?
I'll say this
sax.
Much.
Go ahead, Mark.
After I listened to this album, I went to the CVS that gave me my vaccinations and I had them suck them right out.
Take them back. Oh man, who needs them?
I did something.
Yeah, I'm really proud of you. Honestly, we're all actually taking a very brave stance right now. You know, here we are speaking up against tyranny. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. What a brave soldier. The greatest battle of our day. The most important fucking, you know, thing to stand up and fight for is the rights of ancient fucking, you know, Irish dudes who appropriated the blues competently decades ago and, you know, want to keep cashing in on, you know, his fellow ancients that'll, you know, buy tickets to go see him in fucking Liverpool. I can't, you know, listen.
Liverpool.
Liverpool.
Shout out to all our stoppies in Liverpool.
We're going to We're going to cut that. Cut that. All right.
You got to go to work. You can't just play.
Stop.
All right, I'm getting too like Scottish with it.
I wish that there was like, you know, some kind of machine, like some goggles you could look through or whatever and see the alternate reality where we took no action on COVID, had no shutdowns, didn't do research on vaccines or anything like that. And he went ahead and did his concerts and then like, you know, died 3 months.
They all died. The pandemic. Yeah.
He just Herman Cain'd himself.
Yeah. We love that. Actually, we were talking about in the last episode, we talked about like inventing an Oculus Rift experience for these people where they could just like, we could just jack them into like this like beautiful fantasy of like, you know, just like there's nobody's names that you can't pronounce exist, you know, just like you're totally
just
so, you know,
like a San Junipero.
Yeah, just to say exactly, yeah. but it's only white people and they're all sucking your dick constantly.
Ready Player
sucking the vaccine right out of it.
Yeah, I mean, he would never.
This song has more that it has 2.5 times as many minutes as it does chords.
We're doing math over here.
Yeah.
Shout out to math. Oh man. Let's go on to the next one here. Let's move it right along.
Yeah, I mean, okay. We got a lot of ground to cover. This one's called Western Man.
A lot of ground to discover, so to speak.
We're about to hit the real invade. We're about to hit the Mount Rushmore of this album, I'd say. These are the songs where he gets to the point, I think, of what this is really all about between this song and the next three.
Yeah, so. We're saying the quiet part loud and we're doing it over an organ solo.
He knew the sandwich of this album. He served in the traditional Irish in the way. He put the meat of the album, the meat of the album on top, and it is tasteless.
Yes. Yep. Yep. And now,
at the bottom, meat's on the bottom. It's tasteless. It's lying in a pool of its own juices.
Western man has no plan since he became complacent. Stop believing in himself. Let others steal his rewards while he was dreaming. While he was dreaming, others were scheming, doing deals behind his back. Now Western man is adrift and under attack. What happened in between? Now there's no.
The Western man is the disappointing brother of Florida man.
Oh. Far more destructive. I don't even know where to begin. I mean, you get it on its face, but then if you even look at the lyrics, I just want to talk about this one. So, the horse has bolted from the stables. Lunatics have taken over the farm. Caretakers have taken over the main house. Plan to start meetings in the forest. This is like, are we talking about the white terror of being pushed out of the plantation? Like, is this what's happening? Like, what's going on? Is this like, are we likening wearing masks to like a slave rebellion or something? Like,
no, he's looking at the bigger picture here. This is like some straight up Western chauvinist rhetoric. This is talking about white genocide.
Well, of course, yeah.
Very, I mean, yeah. Very explicitly, Western man has no plan since he became complacent. Stop believing in himself. Let others steal his rewards.
Yeah.
So Western man.
Jews, hundreds, I mean, hundreds, you will not hundreds replace
of years
us.
Of, hundreds of years of imperialism. Mm-hmm. Rewards. Brought them rewards, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Non-Western men. Coming for the rewards.
The terrible
getting
Browns.
Their own rewards of their own of any sort. Equal footing with the Western man. cheating. Treachery. Stealing. They're stealing. That's what I mean. It's just And then the Western Man is under attack because mm-hmm. he's been dreaming. He's been lulled into a false sense of security, lulled into, you know, into a globalist viewpoint by, you know, someone who we're probably going to hear about in the next song. and yeah, caretaker's taking over the main house. I mean, you mentioned it. That right there is pretty explicitly saying black people, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
People of color.
And Jews. Come on.
should be the caretakers of the world, mm-hmm. of the Western mm-hmm. man, right? Mm-hmm. Letting them take over the house.
They're meeting in the forest.
That is
they're building a railroad underground.
Objectively bad.
They're building passages underground.
This is
just kind of nip that right in the bud.
I did not expect his last episode. We were talking about how he probably supports slavery, probably supports Irish slavery.
Oh,
even.
Yeah.
I didn't expect him to come right out and say it on this album.
Mm-hmm.
But that is what he's saying, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Caretaker's taking over the main house.
Yeah, this is the soundtrack to the Charleston rally. Okay. This is, you know, he's hanging with his buddy Clapton a little too much, I think. And this is full Jews. I mean, you will not replace us. That's what we were shouting. Boo Earns. Like, I don't know, dude, on this Indigenous People's Day, let's remember the real victims here. Real.
This is going to come out in like November, though. So don't worry about it.
Well, I like to date the pod, please. Thank you. I hate this.
This is great. This is the real.
It's a new low.
This is the real deal. This is what's been hiding under the surface. All the stuff about him being like, you got to look at the, you know, follow the money.
All that shit. Between the lines. Between the lines is just written, I hate black people. It's just really small. And you just go, oh, there it is. Between the lines.
Like you met him in a shadowy parking garage and he sang you this album.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah. No, you're stuck on the orange line. Like there's no escape. it's doing the thing where it blinks and kind of shuts down for a little while. You don't know what's happening. Like
he's got his fedora, his trench yep. coat, and he just sort of like, you know, pulls a lapel towards you and he's just like whispers,
Western Let me tell man. You about how the Jews run the media. You have nowhere else to hide. It's Thanksgiving. What?
It's fitting, though. You know, he's been talking about how all these restrictions and how they're bullshit, but he waited until the very end of the album to actually fully take his mask off.
Right. Right. Yep. Well, it's because of all the liberals muzzling him. He's got so many masks. They're sweaty. There's a lot. What were you going to say, Michael? I'm sorry.
I don't know. I think it's also funny how shitty it sounds.
Yeah.
Vocally. Yeah. How, like, the way he's... Listen to how offbeat he is. Like, listen.
Doing deals behind his back. Now Western Man is adrift.
Doing things behind his back. Now Western Man is adrift. It's just...
Where did beats come from, Michael? I mean, I don't listen. That might be a little too black for my man Van Morrison.
Yeah, he's trying to distance himself from the beats. Yeah.
He's still doing the blues though. Still doing the blues. Not giving up. But yeah.
Of all the, you know, this is the one where he really goes like full Wesley Willis though, because I feel like Wesley Willis was a one take guy. Once the song's done, it's done. You know, and
yeah, he's like the Clint Eastwood of Casio musicians.
Yeah. So he took that approach here. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else to say.
No, why don't we learn about who owns the media, Michael?
Yeah, we gotta really.
Who's they, man? Why don't you go ahead and say it?
Well, why don't you read between the lines, man?
Okay,
you know.
Okay. Yep.
Let's see. Let's see if he mentions who owns the media. There's a song about it called They Own the Media here. Is he gonna? I'm all ears.
They own the media, they control the stories we are told. If you ever try to go against them, you will be ignored, because they control. They control. They control the narrative. They perpetuate the myth. Keep on telling you lies. Tell you ignorance is bliss. Believe it all and you'll never get, never get wise to the truth, cause they control everything you do. Everything you do.
And they're really good with money, and they'll take it all from you. All lives matter, especially the blue ones. I hate those nasty, dirty blues. That's so low. God.
He sounds like he's just like turning all of the bumper stickers and like Caesar Sayoc's van into a song. Do you remember that guy that he got arrested for? I think he was threatening. He sent pipe bombs to a bunch of politicians, and they were all people that Trump had whined about.
And love it.
They received pipe bombs in the mail, and then they traced them to this guy Caesar Sayoc. I'm pretty sure that was his name, and or maybe his name was Caesar Sayop.
Caesar false flag.
Oh man, yeah, use your sound right reasoning for this one. You know, a little.
So his van was just loaded with just, you know, like basically the lyrics to this album. You know.
Oh yeah, he had that. I've seen the van.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. All these bumper stickers and stuff. Yeah. It was wild. I've had the pleasure of meeting a few guys like that, where it's just like the whole car is just top to bottom filled with that, and like they have signs they built and put up on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Mark, we didn't talk about this. You go to a lot of political rallies and stuff, right? To chase like photo ops with.
Yeah,
I recall during the election, you got to pick with everyone but Biden, right?
Yeah, and
he's the only one who snubbed you.
Actually, so you know what the crazy thing is? So I did get a pick with Biden, but it was awful. And I couldn't get close enough to him, and he was like rushing out. And I volunteered for his campaign to get the picture. Wow. So I set up chairs.
Oh my
God. I did everything. And I told his people, I was like, I'm here, I'm doing this because I need this picture, because I have everyone else. This is Pikachu, you know, I gotta finish this off. And they were like, oh yeah, that's fine. But you know, I got a picture, was not very good, but so that was like a bad picture. And then one person I absolutely didn't get a picture with was Kamala Harris. And Kamala Harris, it was because the only chance I had, everybody else, these rallies, you can just go to, you just show up. But Kamala Harris, the only opportunity I had to see her was some kind of benefit where you had to pay $3,000 minimum.
No.
That was the minimum to get in the door.
Listen, that team for the people, Kamala Harris for the people. Yeah.
No, you know, it's funny.
Which people?
That was the tier for the $3,000. It was for the people tier. I'm not even kidding.
Yes.
And yes. Yeah, so I didn't. And so
that's affordable housing tier. Yes.
Yeah. I could have put money on it. Like I could have been like, oh, who were the two people? It was like almost impossible to get to. I could have been like, oh, those are the ones that are going to be in. Like I could have put it like $1,000.
What was, you know. Okay, tell me the craziest, like most ridiculous politician encounter that you've had. Give me a good one.
Well, I went through this. I went to one of them just because I thought it'd be funny because it was close. I was like, I'm just going to show up. It was Beto O'Rourke. And this early on in the primary, you know, all the memes hadn't fully formed yet. You know, they were still in utero. And, but there were still some memes about these people. And so, like, when I went to see Beto O'Rourke, I was like, all this, you know how he would stand up on counters. Anything he could see, he was like a goat.
Like anything a deep he could lunge. Stand on. I gotta show that relatable deep lunge.
Yeah.
You know?
So I was like, oh, it'd be funny if I got a picture and he was standing on me. And so I showed up and he wouldn't do it. then I got a funny, like, back to back, like, buddy cop pose with him. And nice. So then people were like, oh, who's next? And I'm like, who's next? And I was like, oh, damn, maybe I should do another one. And so I met Marianne Williamson. And like a funny picture with her. And the thing about Marianne Williamson early in the campaign, she, you know, everybody was playing her down like she was a fool. I'm honest about I saw pretty much every candidate speak, all the, you know, people who ended up on a debate stage, I met. She was in Southern Maine, right on the tip of New Hampshire. And somebody had asked her a question about, you know, local economies. She knew everything about that town. She knew that there was like a local naval base and like just the information that was coming out of her was like, I don't think she's a joke. Like, she's a little cartoonish on the stage, but she knew her shit. She was really competent. And I love who she became after the fact, because she was like, I'm not going to get any benefit out of like supporting whoever. So I'm just going to be honest. And her honesty online is incredible.
She's one of them I still follow on Twitter. Like, she's
really good on Twitter.
Really cool. Great on Twitter. Really cool when it comes to psychedelics. Bad vax takes though. So,
really?
Not this vax.
Well, I mean, come on.
I do. Yeah, I know her fan base was certainly like the anti-vaxxer crowd, you know, pre-pandemic. I'm trying to think, like, what was the weirdest one? So
Trump?
No, I wanted to, but that the only chance I don't even think there would have been an opportunity for a photo op with him. Like, a lot of these, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go to this one that I know is in the middle of nowhere, so it's not going to be a huge crowd. But every Trump rally is like at a stadium.
Yeah.
And I rarely see him taking pictures and all that. No. So the only chance I have,
he hates his fans.
He hates
his fans more than any of them.
Yeah. Like, he went out of his way to kill them, freeze them to death. And he's killed at least 7,000 of them at his rallies. Like, knowing.
He's disgusted by the normies. Yeah.
I get, you know, it's funny, like, he's not on Twitter, but I miss him on Twitter.
And yeah, he's so, the like, funniest guy on there.
Yeah, so, like, it will haunt me, like, just, like, well, what would he have said? So sometimes, like, when I'm just driving, like, I drove by, there was a traffic the other day, I was alone in the car, and a cop directing traffic, who was a female police officer, and just out of nowhere... Like, I had no control. I don't have control over this. I was just like, lady cops, smaller than a regular cop, but that's okay. That's okay. We like them. They're okay, lady cops. They've got tiny guns with flowers. They solve tiny crimes, and that's okay. Like,
very good.
This comes really out of me good. Because, like, he's not on Twitter, and, like, my brain is filling in. It's like, you know, like, you have, like, in your peripheral vision, there's, like, a blind spot, so your brain fills it in. Like, that's what it's doing with him.
Can you please, can you do a promo for our podcast with that Trump voice? That was perfection.
if you need Bernie Sanders, I could do that for you, too.
Oh, yes, please.
The problem is what we're dealing with here is there are not enough dukadoos and the dekadees and the dekadars.
the favorite Bernie thing I've ever seen is when Dana Carvey does Bernie Sanders, and he's like, this is Bernie Sanders on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride in Disney World. And he's like,
The pirates are not real. The system is rigged. The pirates are not real.
That's Van Morrison right there. Yeah.
You know what's great? When I met Bernie, I also did the back-to-back with him. And the next day, his people, because I know it's not him, he doesn't know how to use Instagram, his people put that picture up on Instagram. So if you go through his Instagram back to, like, you know, 2019 or whatever, that there's me and him back to back.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing.
I met John Delaney and I put barbecue sauce all over my face because it was at a barbecue. So my whole face is dripping with barbecue sauce.
That's my favorite one. I remember that one.
Yeah, that might be. And I when I saw Biden, I was dressed head to toe as Elvis, except no wig, you know. So just a bald Elvis.
Of course.
Wow. Yeah, what was the... I mean, most of these are, you know, pretty... If you've seen these people on the debate stage, they're basically, when they go to these rallies, they're just practicing their talking points that they bring with them everywhere. Mm-hmm. So when it seems like it's this big moment, spontaneous moment, I'm like, yeah, I know. I saw that you did that in your speech, in your stump speech or whatever. Yeah, it's weird. Like, so there were some
like,
people.
It's like going to an open mic.
Right.
Absolutely.
It is.
It really is. They're just working out their material. Yeah. I mean, and it's like everybody was super nice, but that's because they're trying to get your vote. Even though, like, I disagree with his politics for the most part, Cory Booker, I think, was genuinely the best speaker that I saw.
Wow.
Like, you know, he was just, it was all bullshit coming out of his mouth, but he was very entertaining and captivating, which I did not expect. And I met him as, like, one of my characters. I was wearing, like, a wig and stuff.
Did you meet him as Lacey?
No, I have this character, Eric, that's, you know, it's like the shy teenage boy. And so I had to stay in character when I know this sounds kind of crazy out of context.
this is great. This awesome. Is so good. I love it. We're speaking to a real artist right now. Like, you know, and now we have to go fucking talk about Van Morrison again.
This is
it's fucked up. It's fucked up.
We got was there anything else you want to say about They Own the Media?
No, no, absolutely not. Move on.
Anything else?
The rumors are not true. I do not own the media. I have nothing to do with the media. As you can see, the media disagrees with most of what I have to say.
Well, that settles it, in my opinion. I mean, I'm convinced.
All right. So up next is, why are you on Facebook?
Get a life. Isn't that empty and sad? Or are you after something you can't have? You kiss the girls and run away. Now you won't come out to play. Why are you on Facebook? 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 Why are you on Facebook?
He really
this
does
is his internal monologue.
Yeah. Shoo-doop-a-wop-up. You can't make Captain America black. Woo-doop-a-doop-oop. My pronouns are fuck and you. Wobbity-wop-wob. The Irish were slaves too. But ba-doop-a-doop-oop. All lives matter, but especially cops and tow truckers. Ba-da-doo, ba-da-doo-doo, doo-ba-dee-ba-dee-boo.
I mean, this is absolutely, like I was saying before, this is absolutely the mentality of someone who just got kicked off of Facebook.
Yeah.
And they're like, why are you on Facebook?
Right. He's just scrolling and seeing everyone else having fun without it. Yeah. Yeah. I just want to, like, score this to a montage of the worst boomer hot takes on the internet. Like, I just, this should be the fucking, you know, this should be the background music. And then, you know, just a whole bunch of hot takes with the sloppy scat rapping and the babadoo bop bop boo.
Don't say sloppy scat.
No. I meant what I said. I don't take it back.
Oh man, I had a couple of notes on the media that I forgot to go over.
God, well, too late.
I just got to say this one, which is that I scrolled down to the bottom of the page on Genius, and there's only one comment on the song They Own the Media, and it was posted by someone they wrote their name as Chris Benoit, and they wrote, "My man, no."
God. Thank you for that. Thank you for adding that to the discourse. I really appreciate that. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I don't have any notes on Why Are You on Facebook. It's a really funny song though. It's probably the funniest one because it's definitely, you're absolutely right, Mark, that this is a song written by someone who got owned.
Fuck a community guideline. Either, who makes the guidelines?
They either got banned or someone really like had just a fucking cutting reply that he just couldn't respond to. And he's just like, well, I mean, this guy's just a loser. What's he doing on Facebook all day anyway? Who has time to come up with this stuff? Fucking losers.
Oh my God. It's so bad. Well, actually, all of us, what we are even just thinking about critiquing this, we're just fucking jealous. We're dumb, jealous haters.
Oh, man.
And we should finish it off. Let's go fucking straight to it, please.
We're going straight to it. All right. Yeah, this is Jealousy.
It's just plain jealousy. Oh, jealousy. Just let me be. They don't dig my philosophy. It's just plain jealousy. Is it because I'm good at my job?
You know what? I think you cracked it.
I don't go with them all.
Guys, he might as well hang it up because he called us out. He got us dead to rights. He's just good at his job and we're jealous.
Done.
So I mean, I apologize. Is how I'm going to end the show. I'm sorry, Van, about all the things we said. It's true. I'm seething with envy. I'm just I want to be Van Morrison. I want to be a 76-year-old, 5-foot-tall, gremlin man who looks like he looks like the mole, like that the mole man from Daredevil, and who like has been through two harrowing divorces.
Yeah, I'm sitting over here like I'm just like, you know, so envious of him. I'm here I am with no divorces under my belt.
I know, catch up, Mark. Yeah. Catch up.
He's just accomplished so much more than you ever will in, you know, in the divorce realm. I like these lyrics. You don't want a piece of me. I can feel you when you reach for me. You're just filled with jealousy. Please don't take my breath from me. You've taken all that's left from me. You're just filled with jealousy. Oh, those are actually Broken Side lyrics. I forgot. That was Broken Side from their song Jealousy, which was also the closing song of their album.
Was that from I'm Not a Fan But the Kids Like It?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
A Broken Side. Oh, nice. All right. Yeah, it's because you're good at your job, Van. You're so good at your job. It took you fucking 28 fucking songs to say literally one thing. So you're really, it's efficiency above all else. You're really hammering it home. I am jealous of the person I was before listening to this album. And I am so grateful that it's over.
I love it.
You love it? Go on.
I love the way this album resolves. Just the way the insecurities come out, the projection and insecurity and fucking like, I'm not owned, you're owned. I'm owning you, you know, is absolutely all you get from these last four songs. Starting with
I'm not fired, I quit.
Yeah. Just fucking,
and you're fired. Actually, you fired.
Yeah. I'm not divorced. You're divorced.
I divorce you first. Again, and I'll divorce you again right now. Come back. With I'm so
double
lonely.
Double divorce power and no backsies.
I'm so lonely. Sorry, what?
No, I'm not lonely, actually. You're just jealous of me. I'm killing it right now. You're just a loser on Facebook. I don't care what you just said to me. Look, you're just being... you're just doing what they tell you to do, right? Mm-hmm. And we know who they are, right? And you're cucked, you know, you've lost your way as a Western man, and fuck you, you jealous bitch.
Linda, I'm talking to you.
I know I've spent this entire album complaining about how horrible my divorce has been, but I actually win.
And you're welcome, also, additionally.
Well, we made it to the end.
We did. We really did. I want to give us a round of applause preemptively. We really, you know, that was really significant. That was a fucked up thing that just happened, and I'd rather it didn't, but here we are anyway, 6 hours later somehow. No matter what, it just always ends up being that way. But we have to, before we end the show, which mercifully will be soon, we do have to rate the album on a scale of 0 to -5, and it's 0 to -5 of something. So you get to pick, as our guest, Mark, you get to pick a quantifier. So I believe in the last episode it was 0 to -5, child support, lapsed child support payments, or something like to that effect.
Yeah, like alimony payments, I think.
Yeah, alimony cases brought to court. Yeah, that's my cat sneezing in the background. I don't know if you can hear it, but she's going for it. Mark, what's it going to be? You get to start us off. 0 to -5, something.
So, I mean, so the music, it's super generic. It's not, but if like, the, you know, if I heard it in a grocery store or whatever, I wouldn't think twice, which is somewhat of a compliment.
Like a sheeple? Like a sheeple? Go on.
It's just music. It's, you know, like I said, it's like kind of background music you hear at like a generic blues festival or whatever. And like admittedly
in Rochester, New Hampshire. Yeah.
Even though he does not have anything like, you know, like he's off rhythm a lot of time, and obviously he just like pulled this album out of his ass. His voice isn't shit, I guess. But for the most part, you know, I'm not going to go into the negative territory because there is there's a novelty to this.
Mark, Mark, listen, there's not a right or a wrong answer, but there's a wrong answer and it's that, but go on.
You actually also have to go into the negative territory.
You do. It's a bad music podcast, Mark. Okay, it's okay. A bad music podcast. It's, you can give it a true neutral. Territory. You can give it a true neutral.
A
if
zero
you want
would be wild. A zero is like what we gave ICP.
Fergie. And yeah. ICP.
All right. Well, then, given the parameters,
we own the media here.
The reason that I am going with the zero is because, like, now, like, if you told somebody, you know, everything that you guys have taught me, the backstory about just how sad and pathetic this guy is. You know, don't sit down and listen to the whole thing, but skim through it. It's pretty fucking funny. You know, just yeah. that sad divorce, like media illiterate, just gets absorbed into the, you know, online right wing. It's funny to hear it. Like I was telling you, you know, listening to it, I'm like, oh, this is like a loser who's online all the time. And then he literally sings, "Where are you on Facebook?" at the end. So, I mean, that I'm giving it a zero because that's funny. Like that's fun. And so that earns like minus, it takes you away from a couple of negative steps. So it gets a zero from me.
All right.
Wow.
Zero what?
Oh, hold on. Let me ask Lacey. Yes. Now I have made love to many monsters in my life. And the Dracula and Frankenstein and Chris Kyle and Van Morrison is somebody that I would climb all over. And I will give him 5 skeleton fingers out of 6 skeleton fingers.
Well, how do you argue with that logic? Scale breaking logic. Wow.
We'll do our best with that scale.
Thanks, Lacey. Go ahead, Mike Dunn.
I agree with Mark that this is funny. This is way funnier than Side A was, or Disc One, whatever you want to call it. That was disappointing to me. It was way too many wife songs. It was just your typical sort of bitter divorce guy stuff. And this is getting into way more unhinged territory. I wanted unhinged, and he delivered. And I feel like you could really go either way with that. You know, do I give it a lower score because, you know, it's that much more sort of despicable and fucked up of content? Or do I go up in the score because he gave me what I wanted, you know, which was, I mean, I didn't want any of this. It's all, you know, I could have done without all 24 tracks, but 28 tracks, excuse me. But
don't silence him, Mike.
Into this, knowing the context around it, you know, I was sold a bill of goods, and I think I didn't feel like I got what I paid for with Disc One. I definitely got what I paid for on this, especially with those last 4 tracks. Yeah, I think, you know, I can't be so charitable as Mark. I mean, for God's sakes, this is nowhere near ICP territory. This is nowhere near Fergie. This is nowhere near Lil B. Sorry. But I am going to give Disc Two a better score than I gave Disc One. I'm going to give it -3 skeleton fingers that I've taken them away.
Jesus Christ.
I've subtracted 3 skeleton fingers.
Oh, man. I don't know where to land on this one. I got to say, I agree with you guys that it's funny. But, like, is this behavior really funny? Like, is this really that hilarious? Or are we laughing to keep from crying? You know what I mean? Like, this shit is its own pandemic. You know, there is a virus and it has literally wormed its way into our grannies and, you know, hometown best friends and, you know, angry uncles' brains and their intestines. And it's like, do I really give it a pass because I laughed at it? Because what else am I supposed to do? I don't know, dude. Van Morrison.
Did your crazy uncle make a concept album, though, you know?
I thank God he didn't. I mean, that's the problem. Like, a miserable rock opera of, like, you know, the Jews will not replace us. Do I give that a better rating than the first half, which was just so many predictable flavors of awful? I hated it all the way, dude. I hated it all the way. -5.
Wow.
-5. I gotta also cancel.
How is the skeleton going to be able to hitchhike?
He's still got his thumb. Right?
No, it's not 6 finger. Oh, well, I guess that's right.
It was out of six fingers.
A mutant skeleton. I do feel like a responsibility to balance out Mark's egregious decision. So maybe I'm going a little extra hard, but yeah.
I gave it zero.
I gave it 0.
You're a brave, you know, patriot who is speaking up against the confines, you know, of our system, but.
I don't know. I think I understand where you're coming from, Heather, for sure. But I think not many people are, you know, leaving this form of gift in the COVID time capsule. You know what I mean? You gotta. It's happening. There's nothing you can do about it. You know, it's pretty much half of the Western world feels this way.
The Western man.
Half of Western men are on the van. They're on the van. Yeah. They're riding the van. And, you know, he's the only one, you know, He stopped bitching and he did something.
He sure did something. And, you know, for that, we're worse people. So we want to thank you, our guest, Mark Gallagher, for sitting through this nightmare with us. We really appreciate it. Good thing it's the last season because you're never coming back. And I mean, you would be more than welcome, but I can see it in your eyes. Why don't you tell us what we can do to support you and your art and go see you and whatever you would like to promote.
Well, thanks again for having me and congratulations on 100 episodes. That's amazing. If you want to find me, I'm at Hamflap on Twitter. On Facebook, you can look up the Mark Gallagher thing and Mark Gallagher Comedian on YouTube. And there you'll find all my weird stuff.
Cool. Do you have any live shows?
Instagram. I have all my candidate photos on Instagram.
Yes.
I think it's Nards3K. I think that's my Instagram name.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. Nards3K. Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Well, go support Mark Gallagher. He really deserves it. He's a real trooper for sticking through this with us. And,
and you know what, Mike, Brandon Valley, I'm calling Brandon out. Mark's a great guy.
Mark's a great guy.
We're not going to stand for the slander and, You know, some of your sponsors are going to be hearing about this, Brandon.
Yeah, say goodbye to Blue Apron.
All right, everybody, you can find us at makeitstoppodcast.com on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at makeitstopcast. We have some more fun episodes coming your way. You can subscribe to us on Patreon. I don't know why you would at this point. We're barely making episodes for the people who don't pay us, but it is patreon.com/makeitstop.
Well, you're really selling it, Heather.
I really am.
We'll do another one soon.
We'll have a special episode for you guys. You deserve it. You've been very patient with us.
It might be out by the time this drops. It probably won't.
Yeah. I hope so. But what's our next episode, Mike? Is it with Square One Molgoth?
Yeah. Our next episode's with Square One Molgoth.
Yeah, fuck yeah. That's gonna be
great. If you guys don't know Square One Molgoth, he's on Instagram. It's the only Instagram page I ever deign to look at. It's the only
besides Mark Gallagher's, of course.
Well, I'm just not on Insta, so I gotta.
So what's wrong with the North Shore Mall here? What's going on?
Oh no, this is a North Shore regionalism account, so it's gonna make sense to nobody except us, and that's what matters. No, but it's a very funny Instagram page about this particular region of Massachusetts that I live in right now. And he's gonna talk with us about in true Molgoth style. Mindless self-indulgence. That's going to be really fucking bad. So he really goes on and says the N-word. That guy does a lot. So
he does.
That'll be a fun time. Fun little romp. But yeah, we'll see you next time, Stoppies. Bye.
Wait, you're not going to do all the social links and stuff?
I did. I literally already did it. Did you not hear me do it?
I guess not.
I said it all.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
The Make It Stop podcast is produced and recorded by Heather McCormick and edited by Heather McCormick and Mike Dunn. We are part of the Boston Free Radio Podcast Network and affiliated with the Somerville Media Center in Union Square, Somerville. The music for our theme song is produced by Patrick Ahern. Thanks for listening.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett. Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.